You got your tissues? Yeah, I would suggest how we suggest to everyone else grab some. How are you? Yeah,
I'm really good. Really.
You needed that.
Moved.
Yeah, I think you needed that.
God, this was like such a hard, so wonderful, this interview that we're going to have today. It's just been a little bit emotional. It's the holidays. I feel like I'm such a sappy, sad, and I'm doing like, there's no, I'm not sad. No. It's just like the holidays. I get, well, you know what? Are you also one of those people? You're not super, I'm just emotional. Like if I see a sad commercial come on where it's like the soldier is calling home and all he wants to do is connect through Christmas and it's totally Verizon or AT&T just exploiting the F out of everybody, gets me right.
Gets you right away. No, like in my everyday life, I'm not emotional. Like when I'm walking the walk, like my Sasha Fierce, like my alter ego, no. But behind closed doors with very small amounts of people in my life. I mean, you've seen me emotional. Yeah. I'm the same way. I just put the front on.
With your Sasha Fierce, I love it.
Well, you got to do that to walk through life sometimes. I mean, technically, happy holidays.
Let's kick this off right. Happy holidays, everyone. I'm Amber.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is Art Beauty, the real truth.
About the fake shit.
Okay, now speaking about fake shit, don't kill me. Don't kill me. But there's going to be something coming to your house. It's for the kids.
Okay.
Or it already came. So when they open it tomorrow, just know I couldn't resist.
Does it make noise?
No.
Okay, thank you.
But it probably makes a mess.
Oh, I'm fine with that.
Okay, but it's also really, really cute.
Okay. Oh, thank you. As long as it doesn't make noise and is annoying, I'm fine with mess.
So really what it was is that I saw this thing for Cynthia that I was like, and also kind of for you, because you'll get it vicariously through.
Uh-huh.
I had to like, obviously, get something for Sebastian because we never want to leave anybody out. But when you see this thing, it's really like, it's like a you and Cynthia. It's
moment.
Cute. Oh, it's
cute. Okay. That poor, that young man is going to be so well-rounded and diverse, and whoever he wants to be, he will be ready for whoever he needs to be ready for. We've thrown him into the craziest things.
I know. He's the best though.
So don't worry.
But just like, again, as your friend, don't kill me. Because Tom was like, no, Amber. He was like, are you kidding me with this?
We make slime. We make bath bombs. We are activity central. Like, don't you worry.
Okay, good.
Don't you worry.
Okay, good. Okay.
When you got to keep too busy, you got to like keep it
good. Warm, so. Okay, good. Yes. Fine. I know, but your house is so pretty. And it's so clean and it's so white.
Bleach, Clorox.
There you go. Right. It's true. You've got two twins. You've got two dogs.
Three dogs.
Right.
Four.
I mean, yeah.
I'm a fool.
And a partridge and a pear tree.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a shelfie this week? I do.
Ooh. What is shellac or the ring?
They're sorry. That was so obnoxious. No, the note. It's the nails. So I want to, they're like neon orange. I don't know if it's reading here as red. But can I tell you, I am shouting out this girl. So this is, I don't know if it's really my shelfie. It's like more of like a little personal story. So it's Gel. I believe it is Gelish is the brand. But I walked into the nail salon. It's the holidays. Like everybody's, I don't know. The weather was kind of crappy. I was not in the best mood. And I saw this woman getting this bright orange nails and it just made me happy.
Yeah.
And I sat right down next to her and the woman's kind of like doing my nails. She's like, what color do you want? And I was waiting because this woman was almost done with her thing.
Color.
And I was like, you know what? Real truth about the fake shit. I was like, ma'am, I know I don't know you, but would you be pissed if I got the same color? Cause I love it. And she was so cool. Lauren. Yeah. From Google, and I was like, girl, thank you. Thank you for spreading the cheer, and this is like her go-to, and I don't know, it just made me happy.
Good for you. You know, it's the little things.
So is the ring.
Yes. Oh, I remember when we were, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's the little things. And that's at the end of the day, right? When we're juggling.
You can say it. You can say it. When we were talking about 40.
Birthday presents for 40, yeah, and what you really wanted and needed. And uh-huh, you are going to travel this summer and you might find what you need, but you need a backup at home that you're really, yeah, happy about.
And I think that's good. Because we are going into holiday and gift giving is stressful. But I'll tell you, between Tom and I, there are no surprises.
No.
There's really not any surprises anymore. And at first, it used to be really hard for me. Because he'd be like, give me your list of what you want. And I used to think, is that just lazy?
No.
Lazy? But for him, he's like, I just want you to love
what I give you.
What guaranteed. I give you. So you know what?
Sidebar, my mother and I, half day, early December, she would drive to the city. We would not tell my dad. She would leave me out of school. I would try everything on, pick everything out. And the deal was, if I didn't tell my dad, I got everything I wanted. Oh. So therefore, she didn't have to return. She didn't have to guess. Like, she just needed at least one of us to be like, done. And I was obviously difficult and needed the act. She was like, let's just go. Hurry this up.
I wish I could have met your mom. Oh, look, I'm crying again.
No. And that's, you
she
know.
She must have been like, but to make you, she must have just been.
Oh, she was a rock star for sure.
Because I've met your dad. And I mean, also just a gem of a man. But he's like a man.
Yeah, but don't get it twisted. And I imagine. He's a rock star too.
Oh, he's a rock star.
He's just very, he's subtle. My mom was just like, I'm a blend of the two. And the extra of me is absolutely my mother. The decorating, all the stuff. And my mother was the woman in a Jaguar and a string of pearls, a Louis bag. But she would still tell you to go fuck yourself right to your face, whether you were a cashier or a politician. If you did something to disrespect her, she really flipped her hair and let you have it.
Oh, and I love it.
Love her for that and teaching me that really, truly live in your truth and speak your mind and don't let anybody take you for anything. So this episode, you know, during the interview, I was a little quiet. I'm not gonna lie. You were receiving such a message that it was just like, I absolutely loved to witness you during this interview. It's truly the universe working for you, and sharing with you and putting things into perspective, right? That it's putting things into perspective for all of us. But I definitely went through a lot of this with my mom.
Yeah.
And when my mom lost her hair, I was, you know, barreling through and trying to make her feel good and giving her all seven different wigs and all the different styles she ever wore her hair throughout her life. And she was at the end of the day, she just wanted to be bald because the wigs bothered her and she felt they looked, I mean, they were great. She was like, they're hot.
Yeah. And itchy. And I think that it was interesting when we were listening to this interview and she was talking about some kids who you'll hear about, it's tough, who lost their hair due to stress. You know, they don't want to wear, but wigs are itchy. And people, I think, that our go-to is like, well, okay, you've got this issue, but you can just throw a wig on and go on with your day. And it's not so cut and dry and it's not so easy. And
I am grateful for the trend due to the Instagram and the Kardashian. Like it is acceptable now to wear a wig.
It's acceptable to wear a wig, but it's not, but we need to make it acceptable to be bald.
Bald.
And I think now they say one in every eight women is going to have, I think it's just breast cancer. So that's just one. And when you think about that number, it's surprising to me that you don't, I think at some point we are going to unfortunately start to see a lot more people who are going to live through, it's hard to talk about, but again, I had a girlfriend who just went through this and thank God she didn't have to go through chemo. But I think that unfortunately, as you know, we're exposed to more things, we're going to start to see a lot more of this, and maybe we can just celebrate being bald and the beauty in it. And boy, the women that Alicia shot are just stunning.
I'm excited for this episode because when we started this podcast over a year ago now, a little Lady Gaga movie came out and there was a message and it was, this is your platform. What are you going to say? And I remember when we connected and I said, all right, are we just going to fucking talk about lipstick? Or are we going to have some meat and potatoes here? And you're like, we are going to give everything we need to give. And today we brought it again. I'm so, so proud of this interview. And if you can, at the end of the interview, you can absolutely check out Alicia's book. You can donate to her project. I know I will be donating before the end of today. It is Christmas Eve. And for all of those of you celebrating, and for those who don't celebrate, happy holidays. And, you know, we thank you for your support and we appreciate you.
Yeah, we hope this moves you as much as it moved us. Hi, everyone. Alicia, thank you so much for joining us. I received a press letter about your documentary film, and it happened at a time, just to give you a little background, Ryan is a professional hairstylist. I mean, to the stars, is an extensions expert, which I wore forever. Okay. But Ryan, you're making that face, but I feel like I'm kind of a star.
You will always be a star.
And it was, I literally got the press release a week before I had stress and lost a section of my hair.
Okay.
Now, for me... Yeah, alopecia areata, probably stress related, and I've had it shot with cortisone, and hopefully it'll go away, and hopefully it doesn't get worse, right? But we don't know.
Right.
And of course, the stories that you dealt with in your book and in your documentary are so serious. Women who have gone through breast cancer, women who have shaved their head in solidarity for somebody that they love, and then women who have alopecia. So I'm not trying to say, oh my God, I get it. But when it happens to you, it feels like the worst. So can you tell us a little bit? So anyway, I was very moved by your press release and I wanted to bring you on. Can you tell us a little bit about what got you started on this project?
Oh, well, thank you for sharing that because I didn't realize that there was a personal connection there as well. But thank you for having me on the show. And so my initial, it's a long story, but to make it short, is I had initially in 2013 when I was doing working on my first book, Feminine Transitions, and someone had connected me with a woman who is the founder of an organization that raises funds for women of color who need medical treatment of cancer. And she was, at that time, she was doing a big chop. And so the big shop is when you cut your hair and the funds, the proceeds from the hair gets, you know, it's made out of a wig. And then also the proceeds goes towards the organization. And so I volunteered at that time to cut my hair for her big chop. And it was just, you know, at that point I had locks for 16 years. I was getting constant headaches. I was like, I was ready to cut my hair. So I felt like it was, you know, the connection was at the right time when I met her. And, I blogged about it and the response from the community was, it surprised me. You know, people criticized me for cutting my hair. And I always say that that's the first time I've heard so many Bible quotes. I didn't realize there were so many quotes in the Bible about a woman's hair. And so in response to the criticism to one lady, because after a while it was like, I'm tired of the criticism. And this one lady that was with her daughter mentioned to me about a woman's hair is her beauty, you should never cut it. And then she mentioned to me also that I should not cut my hair before I have my big launch, because then it's my brand, you know, my hair is my brand. And so I said to her in response to that, well, would you tell your daughter, as she's standing next to her, that she is no longer beautiful if she lost her hair? And as she was in the process of thinking, it was in that moment that I was like, you know, I'm going to do a project and I'm going to show people that women are more than their hair. So that's how I gave birth to that.
And I want to bring up... some of these, I'm going to share this now, some of the women that you photographed, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about these incredible women.
Yes. So this is Amy. And Amy, actually, this is my first photo shoot. when I first started the project. And Amy, my hair has grown back since then. But so just to be specific or in more detail, alopecia simply means hair loss. So a woman can lose a hair for any reason. Amy's hair loss was due to stress. And that was, you know, so she told her story about, you know, losing it and then now, you know, coming back to, you know, her hair growing back again.
And so hers was stress related.
Yes.
Wow.
As the majority of them have been stress related, but I found out, you know, after my project.
And do you happen to know with her, was it something that happened over time? Was it immediate?
From what I remember, she said it was that it started off, most women do say that it starts off as a quarter size bald spot. And I've had my own personal experience with losing my hair. Actually, one of my locks fell out and it was a quarter size, same thing. And then it progresses over time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for all of your work. No one thinks that if they can't wrap their hand around their personal stress, that something the size of a quarter can lead to that.
Right.
And when people and doctors say that stress is a true killer, I mean, this is a prime example of it, right?
It really is.
Being behind the chair, being in, you know, and having, I've lost the quarter size as well. I was saying not that long ago to Amber when I had moved with kids and dogs and all the craziness, straight up, right in the back. So same thing. So I first and foremost, before I say anything, you know, Alice, I just want to say thank you because it's so needed. You know, it's so needed to have this outlet and this information accessible and to take the shame away from it.
Right, exactly. Yes, thank you. We do need to take the shame away from it. And I feel like a lot of the women who were involved in my project, which was started off as a photography book, but it has evolved into a documentary film now, mm-hmm. They were saying that this was the first time that they actually spoke about it and yeah. shared with their family that they had this experience losing their hair.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not going to lie right now. It is a little bit, it's terrifying. Right. And not to sound like and make this about something that's so, being scared of losing your hair, I don't think it makes you vain. No. I think that it's something that women so identify with. And we've had some women on here who have suffered from alopecia who found really good results with PRP, but that's expensive. I had a girlfriend who just found out at 32 she had breast cancer, and luckily she didn't have to go through chemo. But these things happen. And I think the more that women talk about it and, you know, they don't want to feel, nobody wants to feel alone. Everybody wants to feel heard and like their story is known. And I think it's so wonderful that you are making your life's work about helping people tell these really tough stories.
Thank you. I'd like to see
some of the other women, if you don't mind my sharing the gallery.
Oh, yes, please do. Right, yes.
And just so people know, this is from your book, I Am More Than My Hair, which is available on Amazon. And it's 46 women?
Yes, so 46 women tell their personal stories in the book. So they all wrote their own essays about their experience.
And beautiful. So can you tell us about Mumbi?
Yes. So Mumbi is, she's actually in DC as well. And hers was the same story, quarter size bald spot, and it had, you know, had gotten worse from there. But I believe with Mumbi, she wasn't sure of the direct relation. And if I remember, I believe it was genetic. Quite a few women also mentioned that it was genetic. They realized that some women and men in their family had experienced alopecia. And because it can also be genetic, then, you know, you may also have the experience with the other generation, the next generation.
Right. I remember Becca told us she had shit-tastic genetics. yes. All right. Let's look at here. Okay. Oh, I was reading a little bit about this story. Tell me about Serene.
So Serene was actually her friend. She cut her hair in solidarity of her friend who was diagnosed with breast cancer. So her hair originally was short because of the work that she does. She's a holistic practitioner. But I believe she was allowing it to grow back. And then when her friend was diagnosed and she had lost the hair after chemotherapy treatment, which is still alopecia from losing your hair, she decided to cut her hair. And she did. So in this picture, she was doing a henna crown, which is what some women do after losing their hair is they get, you know, a henna on their scalp.
Yes.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
And let me see if I can bring up, I did see that there was, oh yes.
Yeah.
Sophie, how old is she? She looks, I'm gonna try not to cry. How old is she?
Well, Sophie was 7 here, but she's actually, so she's 11 now.
Wow.
And she was her parents weren't sure why she started losing hair either. And same situation, started off as a quarter-sized bald spot. They tried different treatment that didn't work. Her hair has grown back since then. Okay. Her mom did share with me that she realized that it was, she shared in video that after her husband and her were working many hours overtime, that's when she started losing hair because she was home with the sitter. So for me, I'm connecting the dots that could be stress related, maybe not, but she started losing hair when she was about 2, I believe.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's making me.
No,
it's really, it's no, really it's okay. touching because to see a young girl like that and to think about how hard it is just to grow up and be teased and to lose your hair that young, that's gotta be,
Yeah.
If you're only listening to this right now, I really suggest going to our YouTube page, youtube.com/artbeautypodcast, and looking at some of these images. And of course, you can go and purchase this book at Amazon. It's touching. I mean, this little girl is so beautiful.
And she's the way that you see her with that big smile, that's her personality.
Of course. Yeah, you can't hide that.
So, I mean, Ryan, you've got 2 kids who aren't far from that age.
Correct.
Just as a parent, that would probably be devastating.
No, it is devastating because now I'm like, okay. The fact that both of, hers was stress-related because she was at home because her parents had, both worked. I mean, that's...
Yeah. Right.
That's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah.
And then I think about my daughter, right? And the things that do stress her out.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okie dokie. Not only am I going to focus on my stress, I'm going to focus on my kid's stress too.
Yes.
Oh, shoot. Right. It's so tough as a parent that you try to, do what you can. And then when you're living your life, it still affects. So, she's beautiful. I'm so glad to hear that her story is successful. And when you see her and you say, oh, wow, she's so much older and her hair has grown back. And that's amazing. I love that.
Yeah.
And she is such a power of example for every other young girl who needs to see another young girl.
Yes.
In front of her Christmas tree with no hair, living her best life filled with joy. It's unbelievable the power of this book with hope, strength, and experience, and what it will do for everyone else. It's beautiful.
What did her parents? Did you talk to them, or did they look into wigs, or did Sophie just say, "I got this, mom and dad"?
I feel like when it's little girls, it's so much tougher.
Because
then they deal with this issue with bullying at school, and kids assuming that they have cancer, and it may not, it could be, but it's not. And if it is, why are children being bullied because of it? So they did go through the process of different hats and trying wigs, but it's not comfortable from my understanding. And it's hot and itchy.
Sure.
So a lot of trial and error, of trying to figure it out. Yeah,
and they're just a pain to deal with and keep clean. And I'm a 40-year-old woman, and it's still like every once in a while I could deal with it. And I love that you were making this whole book and documentary about really, again, making this people aware of this and making it something that is we're talking about and celebrating the beauty and that these are some of the most feminine looking women. I want to show just one more. I mean, look at how gorgeous this woman is. So Debbie, I mean, is she a model? She looks like a model.
So she was a model.
Yeah.
And Debbie, unfortunately, she has passed away. She did lose her battle to cancer.
How old is she? She's so young.
Yeah, I think Debbie was about just 26. But she was just such a big-hearted person. Her personality was enormous. She was really always positive, even through all the challenges. She was really positive and loving and welcoming. But unfortunately, she did not survive and her hair loss was due to the chemotherapy treatment.
You know, but thanks to you, without trying to sound petty, but, you know, she right. and her story get to live on and hopefully inspire somebody else and, right. and give comfort to somebody else. Right. You know, I want to ask you, with all of these women that you got to interview, is there anything that you learned? Is there any takeaway that people can, that we can share with our listeners?
I think the most important thing is not to not prejudge people, to not assume that a woman is bald because it's cancer related. It could be, it may not be. And even if it is, I think to stare and to approach someone not really knowing them with that as the first topic is kind of, is rude. You know, just to be honest, and maybe just to learn just to accept people and our differences and just see them as that, you know, we're all different. We're not the same. And if the conversation evolves into that, then great, but don't just, and it's, little kids, I understand, because little kids, they don't get it. They may ask questions, and I think it's welcoming for a child to ask a question. But when it comes to a grown adult staring and pointing and laughing and, you know, you're like, so this is exactly where the kids get it from. So I just think just treat people as human.
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing else.
I mean, you certainly yeah. taught me something because I'm when I saw Sophie and without knowing her story, I assumed that maybe she right. had some sort of a childhood cancer. So
right.
that's, you yeah. know, why we do this. We need to learn these lessons too. And
right.
And thank yeah. you so much. If people want to know more about this, I know you're trying to raise support for your documentary. It's been on the yeah. festival circuit. What can yes. we do?
So they can visit my website and make a tax deductible donation. All the proceeds goes towards right now the film festival. I just sent out a load of submissions last week and now working on more submissions and traveling for the film festivals and doing speaking engagements because I believe talking about it is going to bring, you know, change. And but they can visit my website, alycia.com, A-L-Y-S-C-I-A, and the first page you'll see a donate button.
Amazing. Can I just be gauche and be tacky?
Oh, no, yes. Please.
What's your goal?
My goal is really to just spread awareness.
I mean financial goal when you're raising money. Festival.
Okay. So the goal, I did all this, just to let you know, make a long story short again, my budget was $216,000 in order to produce the film.
Not small.
Yes. I had to do pretty much everything on my own. With about 20,000, but now this is a whole other stage, and it's about another 25,000-30,000, not just for film festivals and for people. I didn't realize how expensive it is.
Right.
I just jumped in this, like I'll just do it, you know. But the film festival, traveling, and then also for engagement. That's another thing that filmmakers probably don't get into, but you have to have some kind of engagement and mm-hmm. outreach so people can respond and have conversation and discussion about what they've learned.
I'm so excited to yeah. head right over and hit that donate yeah. button and support you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
100%. And hopefully, you know, our listeners support you as well. That's why I was like, no, let's talk money, because someone could be listening and someone could head on over and hook that up.
Yeah, right. You're right. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And I want to thank you because, again, for my own personal reasons, your story was so meaningful and it just came across my inbox just at that moment where it was like, wow. And so I hope that in us being able to share that we're able to continue to pay it forward and help people. If you, our listeners, have anything that you want to share with us, we always want to hear your comments. If you want us to ask any questions to Alycia, you can always write to us, hello@artbeautypodcast.com. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook. And Alycia, thank you so much for doing
this. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Great conversation. You know, thank you. Thank you. Yeah.